May 5th this year, Jeff Bezos made headlines by cashing in 1 million shares and earning almost $1 billion, which he then poured into his hobby, also known as Blue Origin. It's no surprise that these thinkers are thinking about these new worlds. He says that new worlds have a way of saving old worlds. And here to talk to us about this old world and the future and beyond is Peter Nikoloff. He's the executive director, co-founder of Nova Systems and senior weapons systems engineer. He's also a member of the Nova's group's executive management team and on the board of two other companies within the group. Can I welcome Peter Nikoloff?
Yes.
Now, I appreciate the opportunity to talk here. Just a bit on my background. I've worked in the aerospace and space area for about 30 years now, from both government side and now in industry. I started a company back in 2000 called Nova Systems, and a lot of our work is in complex systems, and one of our biggest growing areas is the space sector. So we do a significant amount of work for mainly Department of Defence and state governments on systems supporting the government. And that's, I guess, a lot of the people that work in that area are very passionate about space, and they're very passionate about doing more than that we do in Australia already. I'm also a member of the Space Industry Association. That's the main focus of my talk today. We've got in excess of 100 individual and corporate members, and our main role is to help support those members and grow in the space community, but also advise to governments and state governments and other people in this regime. And I think probably we don't have to tell anyone, but Australia is one of the only sort of developed nations that hasn't got any significant coordination in this space activity. It's not that we don't spend a bucket load of money in this area, but it's not very well coordinated. And as you've seen, there is so much interest, passion and things occurring at the moment that if we don't try and coordinate that at the highest level, we're going to lose out on a fair share of this market, which benefits not just Australia but the whole globe. What I'm going to talk about is a white paper that we recently released trying to support the government's decision-making process in putting together some reasonable significant space program within the Australian environment. Now, as you've heard, you've already had sort of snippets of information on this, but the space environment's rapidly changing, so people that traditionally haven't been able to get involved are now getting involved at all levels, all the way from schools up to small startups and businesses. I won't go too much into that, but you've already already heard about some of the opportunities and things happening in Australia. But the other big, I guess, point is the Internet of Things is also linked strongly to the space environment. So no longer are we stuck to telcos in one area. In the future, everyone will be fully integrated, and space is going to be one of those important elements, and that's just an amazingly fast growing industry. But all the smaller satellites are going to provide the whole world opportunities to help improve ourselves and look after each other. Now, why do we need a space agency? It's a no-brainer for 99% of the population. The only people that sort of haven't really got their act together there is the people that run our country. For some reason, I think it's the short-term cycle of governments and willing votes and things like that, and more worrying about budgets, that they're not willing to think strategically and that it'll benefit the country. So that's one of the big interests there. So the thing that we can take, I guess, advantage of is that we have got a most amazing R&D research capabilities in the country. We've got significantly advanced industries in designing and developing complex systems. What we need to do is make sure we can just underpin and guide that focus in the right direction that's going to develop the nation and help globally. The education, well, it's a the education workforce, we need to significantly grow. At the moment, it's very fragmented and we haven't got a big base to work from in some of the space-related fields. So we need to nurture and grow that, and having a focus with an agency would certainly do that. And sovereignty, national security and sovereignty is really important. And this is one the government acknowledges as well. We rely, most of our space funding and revenue and turnover is all using other people's data and information. So we're very reliant on everyone else's capability. We haven't got much what they call skin in the game. We don't own significant sensors or assets or shared ownership of these assets, which gives us a bit more leverage of controlling the data we need that's important to Australia, but also gives us leverage for better access to other people's data as well. If you don't commit and fund and share the funding at that level, then you don't have that same level of access. So this is one of the driving factors of Space Industry Association. We certainly want to grow our share of the global space economy. One of the important things that we want to pass on is if we do have a significant program, it needs to be highly respected on the international forum. At the moment, quite often, for example, with the Astronomical Conference, which is coming to Adelaide, there is the Heads of Space Agencies panel. We've never had the opportunity to even get involved there. And all the spin-off meetings and activities and workshops and agreements that happen, we're virtually not part of that. So we need someone that can stand up there and make decisions for our nation so that they need to be at least reporting to ministerial level to be able to, or even Prime Minister and Cabinet's office, so we can be part of these forums and become a key player in all aspects. And it ties into not just our economic, but the defence of the nation as well, having those sort of relationships. The current size of the sector, it's we spend lots of money in Australia. You know, the NBN satellites we've just launched, they're spending sort of millions and millions of dollars on those sort of capabilities. But what involvement did Australia have with those activities? Virtually none. We can't build those things and deploy them ourselves, but we should be getting involved with various aspects of those technologies and control and management of these systems, so we can actually have more control and leverage and get involved with bigger programs in the future. So out of this $3 to $4 billion that Australia has, that's only a very small, like 0.8% of the global access, where our GDP is close to 3-4%. Of the global share of the community. So we're basically not even getting our fair share of the access to this. So it's really important that we really, and we've got the smarts, we're a smart country, we've got the good universities, we've got a reasonable workforce. If we can just focus that direction, and the government needs to help and guide and lead that, we're going to have access, we've got the potential to grow our access to this space economy. To support this, we actually wrote an industry white paper, which I mentioned. It's on the website, on the Space Industry Association website, if you want to read it. And I think it was in the link for tonight. But from our assessment, we've been involved with some studies of looking at the industry in Australia. Well, my view is we've certainly got the capability to double, triple, even quadruple that access within. We've got a 20-year regime there, but my view is we can do that a lot quicker if we focus. And the evidence is out there already. The number of startups starting to win funding. In South Australia, I think we've got in excess of 20 startups and space-related ones as well. So the inertia is starting. We just need to make sure we can just focus that for everyone in the space community. As I mentioned, Australia does actually spend a fair bit of money on space already, and some of it is through military, the military side of things. There's big investments and capabilities that are in country. A lot of people don't even know they exist. But there's also a lot of other areas that we're working in Australia, some world-renowned areas. But space surveillance from the ground initially, we've already got agreements with the the government and Australian Defence Force personnel have got access to a whole lot of this data that's been collected, and we want to grow our experience from that. So we're using these relationships to grow our experience, but my vision is we should be developing the next generation sensors and growing that even further. And sensors, designing sensors at whether it's ground-based, space-based, once you start getting a big enough core of people, then we're going to be a lot better off in moving forward and winning the larger programs. But I won't go through all of these, but I think a lot of them are the ones that were mentioned earlier. But no, it is, there's amazing work happening, and we should be working on that. Our vision, which we've presented this white paper to state and federal government levels, and we've spoken to various ministers in both departments, is that the first step we need to do is just make a decision to move ahead and establish an agency that's at the appropriate level that they can actually have leverage in government and also around the world. We need to do that. We can't keep fluffing around and doing more workshops and studies and papers. We need to get that high-level team in place to start with. We need to appoint an interim board and a space agency head. There's a lot of work to going and develop a space agency and what our goals and activities are. So we need to at least get the first thing happening, establishing those key people that can actually drive the next phase. And my view is there, what we need there is to revisit our space policy, which was released a few years ago, but it's quite narrow. And we need to broaden that to cover all aspects of science, all the way through exploration and other elements of the space industry. But that initial interim board is going to help start driving that process. We need to tie that into a long-term strategic plan. And this is something we don't do at all in Australia. Like, we're lucky to think about what's happening next week, our politicians. And I've worked with other agencies, like the Japanese Space Agency and things like that, and they've got plans for 20, 30 years ahead, and we've got zero. And even if we mention it, they sort of don't even want to talk about it. So having a long-term plan, I'm talking about 10, 20 years and beyond, we need to get that in place. Defence do it with their defence white paper, and they've got big investment. Obviously, we're not going to be to that scale or funding, but we need to have a vision. And once we've got that vision and we can get the whole sector working together, we've got better opportunities of developing a long-term, sustainable space sector. Coordinating the whole of government stuff. Like I said, we do some really good stuff at the moment in various departments and agencies, but my view is we could do a lot better by coordinating those. There's a lot of politics there. That's hard work. That's why you need a high-level body to be able to do that. Industry growth targets, we talked about some of those things. And also with this strategy, we need an investment plan, a long-term investment strategy. Now, that's not going to come out straight away. That's going to take a fair bit of work. But we need to look at the gaps where we think we need a stronger self-reliance in the area, where we got advantages from existing capabilities in country, what are important to us, like food and water are a big thing for the whole world. We need to work on that. So there's some areas there which we can draw on and add to our plan, add to a plan. But think about it in 10 or 20 year time regimes. And that's the title of a front page of our white paper. So give that a read. That references some work done with the UK and Canadians as well. Now, I'll quickly run through. I know we've got don't want to sort of run too late. Part of our strategy to try and encourage the government to think about and focus on the agency was to win the bid for the International Astronautical Conference, which is one of the biggest astronautical conferences in the world. So we started working on that many years ago, and we finally won it for Adelaide. And that's a major coup for the Southern Hemisphere, because it doesn't come down here very often. And it will actually attract all those people we need to talk to. So having this here is hopefully going to at least encourage or embarrass the government into actually making some significant decisions about how we manage our space in Australia. And hopefully New Zealand's will help embarrass them into it as well. But we've got a theme here: unlocking imagination, fostering innovation and strengthening security. And I think that sort of links into, I guess, a lot of the themes that you talked about here and some of the other people are going to talk. I'll go through this really quickly. Well, I hosted, I guess we've talked about a lot of that in my talk, so I won't spend too much time there. The association I've talked about, again, we support both internally industry and advice to government. The Astronautical Federation, which runs this Congress every year since about 1950, we've actually got about just over a dozen members of universities and industry involved in that organisation. And I think that's very important as well, because that Congress has a lot of fantastic forums as well for moving ahead with space and sharing and working together in the space community globally. Previous Congresses, Jerusalem, Guadalajara in Mexico, we're all part of that to try and we're there supporting our bid. The Space Association, Space Industry Association is actually, we bid for it. I'm on the local organising committee as well. And Brett Biddington, who you saw his name at the front of the slide, he's the CEO we've employed to actually run the event, and would really appreciate Lockheed Martin's effort here as well. There is a huge, like up to 4,000 delegates, thousands of presentations on all aspects of space. So it's great opportunity for technical people and young people to get together and get involved as well. There's some good anniversaries here for Australia. So you can see the Sputnik 60th anniversary, Outer Space Treaty, and 50 years of the Australian satellite. So RESAT's happening in that year, 80% sold. But this is the sort of activity that comes out of these conferences, and Australia's actually had some great historical value, and this is more in recent times, but the Japanese have got a very strong vision in space, and they use Australia to support their program. So in 2020, they'll have their second sampling mission out to an asteroid, and that'll be delivered to Woomera in South Australia, so that's very exciting. Hypersonic research is another joint program that there's a lot of interest from the US, Australia, I think Germans have been involved and things like that as well. And that's just a bit of a profile of stuff we're actually doing in Australia. So we're launching stuff into space, comes back down again. We have to ring up these sort of people here to say, look, is there a space station there? We don't want to crash into it, and make sure we go through that process. But we do space launch in Australia already. And the deep space network. So that for both Europeans and the Americans here in Australia. So that's just a couple of the high-profile activities we get involved with, but we can really should be doing a lot more. A lot of it is just providing services. We're not actually getting involved with the technology itself so much. So sorry for probably going over my time a little bit, but that's a little bit what the industry association is doing and some of the interesting things Australia that's working on. Thanks. Oh, sorry. I think there's a question, but